Hello and welcome to News 24 on Air, our live audio service. I'm Ihlali Ntsabo. Rescue efforts are still ongoing in George for a group of construction workers who were trapped under rubble after a five-story building collapsed on Victoria Street on Monday. According to authorities, 75 people were working on the site when the building collapsed. As of Wednesday, 39 workers remain unaccounted for. 36 people have been hauled out of from under the shattered concrete, with 7 dead and 29 alive. Authorities say it could take up to 5 days to clear the site. And as search and rescue operations continue, many affected relatives are hoping their loved ones are still found alive. Lisa Lee Solomons and Marvin Charles, News 24 Cape Town Metro reporters, now join us on the line to give us the latest on the tragedy. Lisa Lee and Marvin, thank you for joining us. Marvin, let's start off with you. You are currently at the scene. What's the latest on search and rescue efforts?
Good afternoon. Well, at the moment, those figures are still unchanged. It's still 36 patients have been retrieved, and still a total of 39 people are still unaccounted for. At the moment, there are 200 rescuers working frantically to try and get survivors out of the rubble. What we know is that a specialized asbestos removal company is currently tasked with deconstructing the old parking structure located at the back of the site. This is to ensure that the aid of accessing the rescue operations continue at the building collapse site on Victoria Street.
Right. And of course, Marvin, you are currently at the scene, and we do apologize for the quality of the audio. But have we at this point, Marvin, heard from authorities what they suspect could have caused the collapse of the building?
Well, at the moment, it's still early days, with the provincial government, the police and the Department of Labour all conducting an investigation into the cause of the collapse. It's still early to indicate what the cause was.
Right. And we know that a private company was contracted to build this building. Have they released any public statement regarding the collapse of this five-story building?
Yes, Leotel Developers, the contractors of the Leo Victoria multi-story apartment development where this building collapsed, they released a statement last night and saying that they extend their condolences to the families and they are willing to cooperate with any investigation at the moment. They are also involved in the rescue operations.
Right. Marvin Charles, a News 24 Cape Town reporter, currently on Victoria Street where the five-story building collapsed. Thank you for joining us. Lisa Lee, let's bring you into the conversation now. You had spoken to one of the construction workers who was stuck under the rubble of the collapsed building. What did he last recall doing before the building collapsed? Can you just take us through those moments, please?
Hi, Mishlali. Yes, so Delvin Fapis was one of the construction workers that was stuck under the rubble of that specific building. Mm. I spoke to him miraculously. I spoke to him on yesterday morning around about 11 o'clock.
Right.
Where he was speaking to us from underneath the rubble and explaining to us that, you know, just an hour or two before the building collapsed, he had been tasked with going to just do some inspections in the building. Mm. And he was walking from one floor to the next. When he noticed that there was a pole that was moving slightly, with this iron pole that was slightly moving, and he found that suspicious considering that there was no wind in the area at that time. And then you see the next thing he knew, he just saw everything starting to tumble down, and he, you know, was plunged from the floor that he was on right down to the ground with these massive concrete bricks falling on top of him.
Right. So, I mean, next thing he wakes up and is covered by concrete. What's going on in his head?
So what he was saying was that, you know, he was surrounded by all these building equipment and these bricks, and he couldn't really make out exactly which section of the building he was laying under. Mm-hmm. But what he could see was that there was quite a lot of people, quite a lot of his colleagues, that were also laying a few inches away from where he is, somewhere under the rubble, deep under the concrete of the rubble, and as well as there was other people that were situated and scattered across some other sides of the building that they were trying to communicate with to just make sure that everybody can hear each other from where they were laying. Mm. sorry, but from what he was saying is that it was extremely dark. Lots of dust. He had blood also covered on his body. He couldn't feel his left arm because it was lame, and he had these concrete bricks on top of his legs. Couldn't move his feet. He was in so much pain. He was saying that, you know, it felt like he didn't know how long he was going to be able to last in that position that he was laying. Mm-hmm. I remember also one crucial point that he pointed out was that he could hear people calling. His dad specifically calling outside from where the search teams are currently still searching for rescuers. He could hear them, but when he found a piece of iron to bang on the concrete bricks, he said that it didn't sound like the rescuers could hear him. Right. But he was very conscious of what was happening outside. It's just that the mere fact was what was scary for him was that he can hear them, but people can't hear him from where he was laying.
Right. And just picking on the detail where he was banging against concrete, you also managed to get a hold of a voice note Dalvin had sent to his relatives while he was stuck in the rubble. Let's actually have a listen to that.
Maar ik ga nu eens een stukje leer. Een stukje van de leer wat ik kan bijkomen. En gaan kapten op een stil raak.
Lisa Lee, we just heard Dalvin basically detail how he was banging against concrete using a piece of metal, as you talked about as well. But I guess one can only imagine how scary the situation was like for him.
I mean, Michelle, I think for all of us in that situation, you can only imagine just how scary you will be in such a situation because you don't know what's happening in front of you. You don't know, you know, what the situation's going to be like for you. You don't think people are going to actually make it in time to come and get you from where you are situated. And I very clearly hear him saying, you know, that he's scared. He was very, very scared because he wasn't sure if he was going to be rescued.
Yeah.
And the more that he was trying, as you can hear in that voice note, he was trying to get the attention of the authorities and the search rescue teams. But because of the status that he was laying in, he could only use one arm. And remember, he is so lame already at that point. Mm. He doesn't have much energy. His body is weak, as he was saying. Mm. So he's trying to knock, but I mean, the force, the effort that he has, it's not that massive or that loud, so he's just knocking with just the mere little thing that he has in him. That's really not a situation you wish upon anybody. He also, as you can hear in that voice note, was detailing that his phone had like 8% battery on it, and he kept on switching it off and on for like wait long periods of hours because his phone was basically his communication to the outside world.
Mm.
And that is how he was communicating with his dad and with his girlfriend, because he was worried about his son, he was worried about his girlfriend, he was worried about his family, and he was worried that people need to just, you know, come and find him, because he was of the opinion that there is a lot of people that have already been pulled out that were unfortunately have passed on, and he didn't want any more of his colleagues to be found in such a position. So his longing was to just to be taken out alive and to have his colleagues also brought out. As we now know, Michelle, you are obviously aware that late last night, through the grace of God, he was one of the few people that was also managed to be pulled out alive from that trouble.
Mm. And have you managed to speak to him following his rescue by disaster management authorities? How's he doing?
So I just had a brief, let's say just a few seconds conversation with him this morning when his dad was at the hospital with him. All he just managed to say was that he's just very tired and his body is extremely sore. I haven't had a chance to detail speak to him yet. But yeah, he's extremely exhausted and his body is in so much pain. He's getting the help that he needs at the medical facility that he's at right now. I know that his parents, Michelle, I mean, you can just imagine how over the moon they are with the fact that his son is well. He's might be physically not well right now, but he's alive.
He's alive.
And that is the most important thing.
And that's the most important thing indeed, Lisa Lee. Lisa Lee Solomons, News 24 Cape Town Metro reporter. And of course, as we're Western Cape disaster management teams are still tirelessly working through the rubble to find the missing 39 construction workers. We will be giving you the latest updates on that. Thank you to Lisa Lee Solomons and Marvin Charles for joining us on the line. You can find our full and latest coverage on the tragedy on news24.com. That's all we have for now. Until next time, I'm Ihlali Ntsabo.